Modern DNA testing is pulling back the veil on our history and heredity. And once in a while, it opens the door to a long-hidden family secret. Who's your daddy?
It really makes you doubt everything.
Okay, so when I was about 16, I started to get really interested in genealogy. And that all started, I've kind of always known what I wanted to do with my life and had gotten a volunteer job at the newspaper. And so I was over at the library researching something and came across some information in the library archives. They had a fantastic area for genealogy research in our local library. And I think I always kind of wanted to feel connected to my community and feel like I was from here. There were so many kids I went to school with that were related to each other and I wasn't related to them, but for some reason I didn't want to be related to them, but I wanted to be related to this community because they would have layers and layers of family that were from here. And I was really excited then when I was like 16 to find, oh yeah, we're from here. We're absolutely from here, and finding all of this in the genealogy archives, different family members. And so it really got me interested in genealogy, and I started spending a lot of time on it. And into my 20s, I would be up until like all hours of the night. It was like a game, really, to put more branches onto this tree. And so I was constantly researching things and collecting pictures and documents and putting them into boxes and finding out more things. And it was just like this kind of compulsory activity to find out more information. When I found out that they were doing DNA testing, it was like, oh, now this is cool, because then I can find out more stuff that I don't already know. And so I started bugging my husband to buy me one of these tests when I found out that they were, like, readily available and out there. And so Christmas of 2017, I thought I was getting one of these tests, and I didn't get it. And so then I was, like, nagging about it for the next couple of weeks after that and ended up getting one for Valentine's Day. Now, life with, at that point, a 17-year-old and so basically two high school students and an elementary school student. And so there was just a lot going on. So I didn't take the test right away. I just kind of like moved around to different areas on the island in the kitchen. And
Was it timing or was it a fear?
Oh, it was just timing. Was it? Like, okay. I absolutely cannot express more how much I did not expect there to be any question about anything, because I had spent so much of my life charting out exactly how my family came together. And I feel like also really fortunate that there wasn't ever a lot of question about anything like that in my family. People got married and they stayed married, and there were no divorces, and everything was just perfect.
Just normal.
Yeah. Okay. So there was no reason to think anything about anything. And I will stop right here, though, and say there is one single thing that came up, and it was relatively recently. It was maybe within the past 2 years that I realized that my blood type was not the same as my siblings. But it wasn't enough of a thing to where I thought, like, we were all sitting around at dinner one night. We had gone out to dinner, and I said, hey, what is your blood type? And found out that they were all different. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I did not give it another thought. Hmm. Not a thought. So, finally took the test. The test results came back in April of last year, of 2018. And I was just so naive about the whole thing and so not even considering that there could be anything unexpected to happen. So, we got the email that the results were there. We came to my office so I could see it on a big screen, because legitimately the thing I was mostly interested in was the ancestry portion, finding out where we came from. My mom and her family immigrated from Scotland in the late 50s, and I always thought it was interesting that for being Scottish people, my grandfather had a very olive complexion. And I thought, is there maybe some interesting thing there that we don't know? So maybe I'll find that out through the test. And that was really what I was thinking was going to be the big, exciting thing that was going to come out of this test. So when I opened the test up and it says, 100% European and like 80% Scottish Irish, I was like, oh, well, okay. I was really like, oh, well, that wasn't all that exciting. I think I literally said, that was not all that exciting, and went home, and it was kind of an afterthought that I saw that you could click a button and find out if you matched anybody else, and it was really just a very like, eh, whatever, I'll just see this and see what happens. My husband had left and gone to our cottage and was doing something up there, and so I'm sitting on the couch looking at this, and it immediately says first cousin match. So I guess the thing that was interesting to me about opening up the results was, you know, I had this first cousin match, and in my family, I'm the oldest of my generation on both sides, and I have like 5 cousins total, not very big families. So to find somebody that I didn't know, I was really baffled. And the first thought I had was like, oh, well, maybe one of my uncles has a child he doesn't know about.
So you never pinned it on yourself?
No.
You just instantly went to other family
members. Right, right.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah. I mean, it's incredible.
Well, and you've done so much research. So, I mean, you knew your family inside now.
And you know, like, admittedly, I'm looking at these results and I'm thinking, none of these names are even familiar. And how could I have this first cousin that I don't know because I know everything, okay? And so I find this guy and I start kind of digging around a little bit. And I realize he's born in 1962. Now, the problem that creates for me is that my uncles were born late 50s, early 60s. My parents are the oldest of their generations in their families, and they were born in 53 and 52. Mm-hmm. So nothing about this was making any kind of sense. So I was like, okay, well, there must be some solutions. So every single day, I was like trying to learn all I could about DNA, about centimorgans, about how it could be possible for me to be related to this guy, even though nothing about this makes any sense, and finding a way for all of this to work out, that everything stays in the perfect little boxes that I have.
At any point did you call and say, is there any way you made a mistake?
No, I thought it. I really did. But then I kept coming back to, but my mom's information is clearly here because I can find this person. I got really familiar with all of like the top matches and like figuring out exactly how they fit into the schematic. And one of those, I could clearly connect to her family. So it was like, okay, I know I'm related to my mom. But honestly, we didn't even go down the path of your dad's not your dad until like much later. Weeks went by and it just got heavier and harder every day when I would come up with these theories and by the end of the day have debunked them because mathematically this is not possible. I have to be related to this person to this extent. And there was really no, I mean, I looked at, well, maybe my grandfather was adopted, or maybe could my dad be adopted, or all these different scenarios, and none of them were working out. And it just got darker and darker, and I would spend a lot of my day trying to figure out what was going on, and all of my evening in my bed crying. Every night I would go home and cry and cry and cry about this because I couldn't figure it out. It got really terrible. And at some point, my husband contacted my sister. My sister knew about this mystery cousin thing because I early on was just really like, oh, hey, I found us a cousin.
Now, was she involved with you when you had done your research without the test?
They've listened to my stories about stuff over the years. Like, oh, did you know that this family member was a county commissioner, or this one came here to do this? Like, they would listen to my stories, probably not all that interested in this stuff. And so, like, I don't really think that they cared, but they knew that I was really into it. So they would, I think, humor me and listen to it.
Gotcha.
Lost my train of thought.
do we need to start another vehicle? Get
another job. I went and told her.
Oh, so my husband went then and talked to my sister. Unbeknownst to me, he went to her and said, Jen's really not doing good, like, at all. And I really think it would help if you would take a test so that it, I think at least she would know she's related to you because she's really not handling this information well. And so she went ahead and she took the test. Well, in the midst of all of this, I started to maybe get a little bit more productive in my research and had found out about something called a mirror tree, which is basically you take the information that you do have and you start putting together a theoretical family tree. Like, if I'm related to this person as a first cousin, what has to happen for that to work? And I, right out the gate, contacted this first cousin, which I, for listeners, if you're newly an NPE, I wouldn't recommend this. People get really freaked out, and I'm just lucky that he didn't get too freaked out. I contacted him right away within the first couple days and was like, hey, I see we're related. How are we related? And of course, he's like, I have no idea how are we related. But he did tell me his mother's maiden name, which turned out to be then really helpful. And I was able to then start putting together this theoretical tree of, okay, well, if he's my cousin, who are all the other parties in this? And putting that together. So I then kind of knew, like, okay, so he has two biological uncles. And for this to be, like, which one of them would it be? And so my sister then, her DNA results came back in June of 2018. And she called me at 11 o'clock at night and said, okay, my results are back. Let's get on there and look at it. And we both got on there and found out that we were half siblings. And we're just devastated. I think we were on the phone crying for probably maybe 3 hours or something like that. And she just kept saying, you're my whole sister. I don't care what this test says. You're my whole sister. And I mean, I completely agree. Like, you know, we grew up together. We're absolutely, I've come to appreciate the idea of just being related to people and not really being awfully concerned about to what degree you're related to them. That night when I went to sleep, the one thing that I really prayed for was clarity on the situation. And another funny thing, I guess, about DNA tests is this little, like, sense in your mind that maybe if I take one with a different company, it'll have a different outcome.
Yeah.
And so I had taken one with, the first one was with 23andMe, and the second one was with Ancestry. The other thing is, since then, I've also taken those two tests and plugged them into different testing things. So at this point, I have, like, four different pools of DNA that I, like, and they all come back to the same answer. So, like, you really only need one. But in my case, it was really helpful because that morning when I woke up, I had gotten, unbeknownst to me, the results of the second test. And when I opened that, it had, this time, an uncle match. So my prayer was legitimately answered because there were two brothers. And that one test determined that one of them was an uncle and one of them was a biological father.
Wow.
So from there, it was a matter of, okay, well, now I know, what am I going to do with this information? And I've never really been one to just, like, sit on something like that. So I started a series of, what do I call it, a series of difficult letters. And the first one I sent off to my biological father and said, hi, this is my name, this is my birth date, this is my mother's name, and I think I'm your biological daughter. And I match your brother and I match your nephew. And I sent it off in the mail, and he got the test, or he got the letter and was immediately in touch with me.
That's great.
And I know enough now to know that that was really, really lucky and fortunate on my part, because that's not always the case. So from there, then, there were more letters that went out to other aunts and uncles and kind of brought them up to speed on the situation. About the same time that I started reaching out to people, I also joined an online support group that was massively, massively helpful to me. Because once I started to find this out about myself, it really then made me begin to question, like, I had put so much stock in being from here, being related to the original people of this community. It was such like a major part of my life, and I really feel like I can get into that more completely in another episode, but it was so important to me for whatever reason to be from here, and that information essentially cleared that. So if I'm not that, who am I? And I really had to have spent some of the last couple of months like looking at that and saying, well, if I'm not them and I'm not that, who am I?
So who are you?
I'm still figuring that out. I'm coming to the conclusion that I don't need to be from here. I'm okay with just this is where I am now. I previously felt really committed to the idea that I always had to stay here in this one place because previous generations were here and this was where we were and where we were supposed to be, and now I could go anywhere. I'm now kind of like, I mean, I found out that my people are the original people of another place that's very similar to this place, like oddly similar to this place. But
do they have an Old Settlers Days?
No, but they have a they have a peony festival.
Spectacular.
A kind of surreal experience is when I started to put this together before any of the letters, before any of that stuff, and actually before I was sure that the uncle was an uncle and not the biological father, I went to this other town. It's a good hour or so from here. I went there and was like struck by how oddly similar it is to this community and how my family there, my biological family there, they were the original people of that community and have always been very involved in that community. And it's just like this weird like alternative universe that I'm here with this family that I thought that I was part of, but it turns out that I'm part of this family over here.
That's much more like you.
It's totally, yeah. Totally yeah. Like me. Things that I thought were quirky and different about me, I guess, for my family, things I could identify were different. They're very much like that family. And they have been wonderful. If you'd asked me how I felt about this when I found out, I was devastated and spent a lot of time wishing, fruitlessly, obviously, that I could just be my dad's child, biological child, be full sibling to my siblings, that I could somehow, like, undo the past and be, like, who I thought I was.
Rewrite it.
But I'm happy now. I can't imagine them not being in my life at this point. They are really, really wonderful people. I adore them. I feel a major connection with them, and they feel like I've always been here. They've now, I mean, we've been included in a lot of different family events. My uncle has come to visit me here to see where I grew up and see what my life was like, you know, leading up to this point. Like, really wonderful.
You've had kind of the, what I'm gonna say, the fairy tale type of NP story. And I think at the end of the day, you're still the girl I knew 25 years ago. I mean, it never changed anything. In fact, it probably brought us, all three of us, closer together just from having the same experiences. But it was so hard. Maybe you can reflect on this too. I did so much soul searching when I found out my results. Trying to find the truths to life can sometimes be so exasperating that you just you live in it, and you sit in your bed and you cry. You sit on your couch and cry. People think of you different. They think you're like going through an episode, or you're, you know, going through, you know, things like that. What kind of things did you do in order to get out of that? Besides your research, I mean, what helped you as far as getting through this aha moment to where you are now? Because to me, you're an inspiring story. You took it so hard at first, and I've seen so much growth in the last, what, 6-7 months. It's just unbelievable, leaps and bounds of growth. What's some of your secret? I mean, it was just...
So, there's been a couple of things that have been really fantastic. I've had really fantastic support at home from my family, from my husband, from my kids. They have been probably above and beyond supportive because I was pretty non-functional for a while. I think that's something that if this is new information for me, for you, you really need to be gentle with yourself, that this is heavy, heavy stuff you're going through. And if it means taking some time off, maybe you should. I kind of wish I had done that. But the things, the other things that were really helpful for me were getting involved in the online support group, finding a place that I could go 24 hours a day online and talk to people that are going through this situation and to be able to relate to them. That is literally probably the one really big thing that happened early that was helpful. At one point when I was at my absolute lowest, and by that I mean like coworkers were thinking like, we need to have an intervention here or something, like she's really not okay and we don't know how to fix it. It was like 3 a.m. I was in the support group because of course you can't sleep because your mind is racing at all hours trying to figure out like, how did this happen and how is this possible? 3 a.m., you know, somebody posted in there about, you need to take this situation and try to make this a positive in your life and figure out how to, you can't change this. You just have to accept that this is what it is, but you need to figure out how you can make this positive and you can turn this around to be transformational in your life. And she was like, I can't tell you how you are going to do that in your own life, but you need to figure out a way to take this information and do something good with it for you, for your kids, for your family, for everybody. And I went in, I woke up that next morning and was like, okay, I'm going to commit to figuring stuff out. I also cut myself off from the constant and obsessive looking at my information, kind of stopped that. I made it so, okay, I'm only going to look at this maybe like once a day instead of like more than once a day.
So it was obsessive clicking and trying to figure out what's updating and
right, or like, is there any new information out there? Can I put my DNA in another place? Is it like...
And all you're doing is clouding the situation.
No, yeah.
You have no clarity that way.
Right. And so I just needed to like put that stuff on pause. The support group was fantastic. I also started seeing a therapist, and that was hugely helpful to me. That was kind of a big hurdle on its own. Like, to my knowledge, nobody in my family had ever gone to a therapist for any reason before. But acknowledging that, like, I was, even though things were good, I was not handling some of it in super helpful ways or super healthy ways, and that I really needed to talk to a outside person who didn't have any bias in the situation. And one of the first things she had me do was actually write an essay, because she knew I'm a writer, to write an essay about who am I. And so then I started to really look at who am I in a very pragmatic sort of way. Like, let's explore why that matters to you. And I realized then that it matters to me because it's mattered to me for a really long time. And I've made that part of my identity. And if that's not part of my identity, then how do we exist going forward? Like, if that's not who I am, then who am I? And I realized that when I found out that I was not biologically related to my dad, who will always be my dad, it left these, like, I visualize it, I guess I'm kind of a visual person, it's like there's holes in my foundation. And they got knocked out when I found out that information. So I need to fill those holes up with other things. And I need to make sure that I'm filling those up with positive things and productive things and the things that are going to hold up the rest of the structure that is me. So,
is it safe to say you filled some of those holes?
No, I'm still working on filling those. I mean, my new family will fill some of that. Interests and hobbies and that kind of stuff are going to fill in some of those holes. I have to be open-minded, and I'm okay with that, to the fact that I might not know what those all are yet. This is all really pretty new information in the scheme of things. My therapist has said I'm handling it really, really well, but, you know, it's still big stuff, and there's definitely days that I'm overwhelmed with the emotion of what's happened. Some really big elephants in the room, I guess, are that I have not talked to my dad who raised me about this. He doesn't cope well, and I'm terrified about damaging him somehow with this information. Complicating factor is that my mom's not alive to answer a lot of the questions that I have. So I, you know, some people are able to maybe get to the bottom of exactly what happened, and I have to be okay at this point that I may never know exactly what happened. And I, to be honest, I'm kind of okay with it now. There's a lot about it that I've decided is not helpful to me. It's not my It's not my business to some extent. I'm just really glad to be alive. So whatever had to happen for me to get here, I'm happy about that. But the other side of it is I could really hurt somebody with this information. And so I'm at this moment not sure that I want to tell him. And if I do want to, I want to spend a lot of time figuring out how I'm going to do that in a way that is least harmful.
Yeah. Do you have pressure from others that do know that think that you should share it?
No. Interestingly, my new family has been really, really above and beyond kind about not wanting my dad to be hurt by this, and have gone as far as to say if we're at the same event, because, you know, like, they're part of my family, there's bound to be times that we're all going to be at something together that they've said, introduce us as your friends.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. And that is hard, though, because it's like...
It is, because I'm so proud of them. Yeah. Like, I want to be able to have them feel and realize that they are as important to me as the family that's always been with me.
So they've already been to some events.
Yeah.
How do your siblings now react to them being...
My siblings there? Actually have not met them yet.
Okay.
They've both said that they are open to meeting them, but that hasn't happened. The only intersection of families at this point that's happened is my husband's mother met my aunt. But it was just a very brief interaction.
You can only do it at your time and your pace. Yeah. The beauty of NPE is nobody can tell you what direction to go into.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take your own direction.
Right.
And there isn't anything anybody can say or do to deviate from that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of this experience, is that although we're all in different portions of it, Casey obviously being the most tenured, I'm kind of in the middle than you, we can learn and branch off from each other so much. But at the end of the day, it's your decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you can find of your truths and your decision to take with it what you want to do. And I commend you for it. I really do. Because as much as I get on you for, don't you think, or maybe you should, or whatever.
Don't you think you should tell your dad?
Yeah, well, you know. And
to be honest, like, the further we get into this, the more I'm like, I could see myself having a conversation with him at some point about it, but then I just go back to, he doesn't cope well. His coping mechanisms are terrible. Like, I don't want to be the thing that puts him in a tailspin. Like, I just don't.
Yeah.
And once this information is out there, like, I didn't have the fortune of being able to, you know, walk up to the edge of this and realize now is the time where you can decide to just walk away from this and not know what happened. I have that luxury with him to be able to decide, like, I don't know if this is helpful for your life, so maybe we don't have to do this. And I do try, when I'm telling this to somebody that I think is going to be especially, I don't know, concerned about the information I'm sharing, like, do you want to know this? Because you can't unknow this once you know it.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
And, I mean, all of us here have been, like, we didn't have the luxury of being able to walk up to the edge and say, you know, I don't want to know this.
Right.
Or, oh, since you put it that way, maybe I don't want to know right now. But I want to be able to give that. And I pretty much have, with all of the big details of this to this point, been able to go to, like, siblings and say, I can tell you some new information, but if this is something you don't want to know, like, now is the time to stop, because if I tell you this, you can't unknow it. And of course, everybody's like, no, I have to know now.
No, I can't.
But I'd feel bad if I didn't give them that opportunity to say, you know, I think I can't handle this.
Is there any part of you, though, that thinks it might be like a Twilight episode where you walk up, you tell your dad, and he's like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you know.
I hope that, to be honest.
I kind of hope he already knows, and maybe this is why he doesn't cope well. Maybe he wants to talk about it with me and just doesn't know how.
The interesting aspect to that is, and I'm going to piggyback off Casey, and what you and I have talked about together is that maybe he does know. Maybe there's so much more that you can learn. The person that I know that's done the most work and the most research into all this to not turn over that stone, that part to me was like, wow, it's such a catch-22. And I applaud your efforts. I really do, because I think it's fantastic that you have that much, you know, a declaration to do that. It's when it's your time, and I've told you this forever, when it's your time, when you're ready, that's when you do it. Mm-hmm. And not one of us could do any different from it. That's,
right.
This is your story. This is not our story.
Or buy him a test and say, here, take this test.
Yeah.
That would be the almost easy way out, but he's funny
about it. So when you get home, tell your husband, say, hey, Dad's birthday's coming up, and let's buy this test.
We've actually talked about DNA.
And your dad, okay.
Yeah, and he was really like, I don't want them to have my DNA.
Okay.
And I was like...
Now, there's a whole other story here.
I know, I was kind of like laughing in my head, like, oh, they already have your DNA.
Wow. Does this play after Tim's? Because there might be some parallel.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, you know, when my sister took the test, like, the thing is with these tests, they have everybody's DNA. Yeah. It's just, how much of it do they have?
Now, I never took a test, so is there any warning when you open it up saying, this may, please be prepared to...
Apparently there is.
Okay.
However, I didn't read it.
Okay. So it's like the Cracker Jacks, you know, I can't wait to get the baseball card.
Okay, let's say there's like a big blue button. Click here, and there might be some print under it that says, you may find out some harmful or surprising information here if you click this button. I'm just like, click.
Yep.
And it populates with all this stuff.
Gotcha.
So now at this point, we've had many DNA tests. So my sister has had a DNA test. My son has had a DNA test. My husband had one. My biological father ended up taking one.
Real quick, though, your son's test, did it come out the way he thought?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure, man, that would be, something.
But this is really terrible. Like, so he's away at college, and I got the test results this week, and I sent him a message. Your DNA test came in. Call me right away.
Oh, boy.
And it's Friday.
So evil. I love it.
It's Friday. He has no classes. I know for a fact that kid woke up at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon because he was on the phone.
He's ready.
Yeah. What? I said, well, I'm your mom. And a long pause.
And
your dad's your dad.
You can't deny that though when you see those two.
I know.
You just cannot deny it.
Right. Right. But you know, that brings up a whole nother interesting thing for us to talk about sometime is people can legitimately look like the person that raised them.
Yeah.
And no.
Other than the height, I never really questioned Casey. I
never
you
thought
of know.
I don't just, know. Like I okay. I no. never thought I mean I saw both of your parents and I never thought anything.
Okay.
You know what? I am so cynical now. I look at everybody and I'm like, I don't know if that's your dad.
Well, I was doing some research before we did this podcast and they actually have one just on facial recognition. It's like a $39 test where it's just facial recognition.
Really?
Yeah.
Do I have to pay extra because I have a big head?
You know what? I think there is a no net clause.
That would be really fun maybe for a future episode if we would take one of those and just see like what we could learn from that.
Yeah. I mean,
would it recognize?
Yeah.
So what is it recognizing? Like you and a parent or?
I didn't go into that. I don't know if they try to match you with other. Yeah, I don't know.
That could be fascinating.
Yeah. Might be the sibling test maybe.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Right. So another interesting aspect of me finding all of this out is, so I did find out that the siblings I'm raised with are my half-siblings. I also found out that I have another half-sibling, an older brother.
Interesting, okay.
That lives in another state, and he was actually put up for adoption, so I had to do kind of a lot of extra work to find him. I've now found him. I now have his phone number, but I need to get the nerve up to call him.
Well, now did you, wow, okay. So does he know who his parents are, being that he was up for it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, his dad had surrendered paternal rights to him. Okay. So he knows who he's from, but then that's a whole nother, like...
You're just like Santa Claus. You just keep going out and sharing all this.
Love it.
Right.
My life seems pretty boring after listening to this.
Yeah. So I have to get...
Step it up, Tim.
I have to get the nerve up to actually call him. But for whatever reason, like, it was not scary to...
Let's call him up right now. Let's put him on the show.
Not yet. I mean, I had written the letter to him and stuck it up on a bulletin board and just like waited for the day that I felt like, okay, I think I can handle this now. And I had to wait for that day to come along. Like, I don't know why, but I have this huge block about anything to do with the brother and physically going to see my biological father. And the only thing that I can break down on why I haven't just, I mean, he doesn't live that far away. Like, I could get in my car and I could go see him, but I think on some level, like, everybody else in this is innocent. I'm innocent in what happened. Yeah. My aunts, uncles, and cousins are innocent in what happened. He's not innocent in what happened. And I think, like, maybe going to see him is just, I will have to confront the fact that, like, this really did happen. Yeah. Or what if I'm, I don't know.
Yeah, there's, yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Who's Your Daddy podcast. Be sure to look for us online on Facebook.com as Who's Your Daddy podcast. And feel free to ask us any questions there that we could address in a future episode.